What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Danny Parkins.
QB1 party! All are invited! Pop your champagne, smoke them if you got them.
Fight Club. R.I.P. Louis Anderson.
Jersey number one is going to the Raptors.
I would think long and hard about firing Matt Eberflus to retain Luke Getsy. It's a Caleb Williams custom, baby!
I could do Stephen A's job, guys. It's not that hard.
Somehow when I hear past predictions from Danny Parkins, the former Score host, former host of the afternoon show here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, suddenly I don't feel so bad about my rancid prediction about the Chicago Cubs and winning the division in April or whenever I decided the Cubs had won the division. So
they're only going to remember what you did lately, Mark. It's recency bias. It's killing you right now.
I could use it like 5 or 6 wins based on that. But the reason you just heard that familiar voice of Danny Parkins, who was just on the radio for 24 straight hours, and now the man wants back on again. He is a TV star, of course, from FS1, the expanded version of First Things First, which you could watch right here in Chicago on the daily from 4 o'clock until 5 o'clock. Without further ado, now joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline is Danny Parkins. Download the Circa app today. Parko, what brings you to us today, sir?
I got a lot of thoughts. I got a lot more bad predictions.
Oh, no.
Not predictions. Here we go.
No, listen, honestly, not even really predictions. Marshall, hello. Grody, hello. Nice to talk to you guys again.
Parko.
Thank you for making time. But, you know, I've watched a few Cubs games of late. And you know, the Blue Jays and the Cardinals, and I've seen some sputtering offense, and then I've been more engaged with the online discourse, which has made me kind of tune in to the radio station discourse. And I got a bone to pick with fans and media, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
The floor is yours.
Okay. Does Jed Hoyer hit right-handed or left-handed? Like, have I missed Jed Hoyer not hitting the ball in a big spot? Because when I'm watching and when I see the numbers, it's Kyle Tucker. It's Pete Crow Armstrong. It's the offense. They were slumping in July. They're slumping in August. They're slumping. Like, they're sixth in baseball in home runs. Kyle Tucker has one home run in the last 33 games. Was Bryce Harper traded at the deadline and I missed it? Like, it was universally regarded as a dud of a deadline because sellers were being delusional and holding on to pieces and asking a king's ransom for the good players. So very few good players were traded. And I heard a lot of, get me Mackenzie Gore, get me Alcantara, get me Justin Verlander, none of whom were traded and none of whom hit. The Cubs need to hit. Period. It's very frustrating what the Brewers are doing, and they're making this worse. But the Cubs were 14-10 in July. They're 4-6 since the deadline. That means they're 18-16 since July 1st. Like, they're not the worst team in baseball. They're not getting any wins. They are slumping. Their best players are not hitting. That is not on the manager or the general manager. But to fans like to go at the GM or the manager because they don't buy their jersey.
You can't take responsibility away from those guys, though, Parkins.
What was Jed Hoyer supposed to do for this offense?
Hold on, because you mentioned Craig, too. And this is something that irritates me all the time. When the take comes out, like you're giving, when it comes to Craig Counsell, like he can't be the one that goes out there and hits. He can't be the one that goes out there and helps Dansby Swanson on a pivot from second base on a double play. Then what does the manager do? What are we giving the manager credit for when he does
hey,
well?
Danny.
The manager is supposed to do things to change the lineup, sit guys out. He does bear responsibility, and so does Jed Hoyer bear responsibility because he put the team together.
Danny,
why couldn't the Cubs be the creative team? team.
Listen.
Why couldn't they have been the team that got McKenzie Gore?
I understand what you're saying about, especially about the pitching, but I always said because they didn't get the guy who was the top of the rotation ace, and they didn't get better relief pitching, because there was better relief pitching to be had, by the way, that put more pressure on the hitters who were already, as you just mentioned, slumping. My issue is this. This team was built with the belief that, hey, we're going to do it around the margins because we're a small market team, and this is how we're going to operate, except we're going to make Kyle Tucker for 1 year, and now we're not going to take advantage of the 1 year we have Kyle Tucker. That's how I see this, is they're not taking advantage of the fact that they have
Kyle Tucker. If you could fire Jed Hoyer and hire a general manager who would get Tom Ricketts to spend like Steve Cohen, I would pack Jed's bags and put the for sale sign in the lawn in Winnetka. But that's not how it works.
No, I get like, that.
So, like, if you want to say they should spend more money and just throw more money at the problem, I'm never going to say no to that. Of course, I'm a fan. I want them to spend all of the billions of dollars on Wrigley's Pact and all of that. Obviously, I'm with you on all of that. And what Carter said about the 2032 team being as important as the 2025 team, that quote to Jesse Rogers, yeah. Obviously that's dumb. Like, and obviously he would want that one back. Like, that's obviously a dumb thing to say. Even if there's a modicum of truth into it for how a GM is supposed to look at a team, you shouldn't say it publicly. It's just bad PR. It's bad business, especially in the midst of a scuffling team. But is Kyle Tucker not supposed to play?
So I think Kyle Tucker, if he's hurt, he needs to sit down and they need to get him right. Here's why. Because
is he hurt?
There's reports out there that he's had a finger injury since he jammed his finger in the base. And there may be something else wrong with him that we don't know.
And real quick, when he was asked about it, he was as ambiguous as one could possibly be about it.
No doubt.
And so coming off the Dansby Swanson situation, I don't know if you remember this, but Dansby Swanson basically was like, I was hurt all of the year and decided not to do anything about it, but now I'm going to have surgery in the offseason. It's like, bro, if you had told us that last season, maybe we could have, you know, helped you before wasting a whole season of less than top-tier Dansby Swanson.
You don't think the Cubs knew that Dansby Swanson was hurt, or the fans?
No. I think both. I think the Cubs didn't know to the degree which Dansby Swanson, who wants to play 162 every year, even though now he's on the other side of 30. That's the problem there. There's got to be a real talk between front office and player and making sure that everybody's on the same page. I don't think they were on the same page.
If players are withholding medical data and medical information from teams and disguising it in that way, then that's obviously a huge story. I do not know that to be the case. Guys are going to want to play, and if the belief is that Kyle Tucker is too hurt to play and they're just playing him because why? Like Council pinch hit PCA the other night and people went insane.
I did not go insane. I said that makes sense.
But now the belief is that they won't sit Kyle Tucker if he's hurt. Like, they've proven that they'll sit a star player, they'll pinch hit a star player, or they'll take a guy out of the game. Like, my point, Grody, is when is it on the player?
I mean, I think the majority, and maybe you're not seeing it this way, I do feel like the majority of...
You think the majority of the ire is at Kyle Tucker and Pete Crow Armstrong Hoyer?
I think, like, when you're watching these games and you have the third inning and the seventh inning last night where the Cubs had two on and nobody out and didn't strike, well, they got one run from the Michael Busch single, but that was it. That's what Cubs are angry about. That's what the pain is on the moment. Now, I get what you're coming from since the trade deadline. People have been mad that Jed Hoyer didn't strike, that in this sacred season he didn't go after it. But I think, unfortunately, Danny, Cubs fans are used to feeling the pain of an offense not working, especially in high leverage, like 2023.
But
in September when they had a 94% chance of going to the playoffs and they weren't hitting, and that ended up being the problem.
Danny, it's this.
Wait a minute, no doubt. No doubt. Sorry, Marshall. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's this simple to me. Jed Hoyer told you how he was operating in terms of needing people to outperform, right? Even after they went and got Kyle Tucker, they depended on guys like Carson Kelly to outperform. Who was in the cleanup spot last night? Carson Kelly. He's not good enough to be a cleanup hitter on a playoff team, but that's where they have him because they want people to outperform. Everyone that is outperformed, and that includes PCA, by the way, who has taken a jump but has come back to earth. They expect him to just maintain the outperformance to get him into the playoffs, and now we'll see what happens. My thing is build a team where you're not expecting everyone to outperform, and that includes third base, by the way, as well. And because you understand that's the general principle, watching it play out in real time is like, what did you really think was going to happen without the booster at the trade deadline?
But do you think Jed Hoyer is just choosing not to spend
money?
No,
this is on the top. This comes from the top. This is ownership and how much money they're willing to spend at the end of the day. Well, I agree with you on that.
Okay, well, so then, like, but at some point, like, the level of anger, like, if the whole point is, like, man, the Cubs should just be spending more money, even though we haven't, like, seen the books and we don't exactly know, and, right, it's all weird across baseball about money made, money saved, like, whatever. If the whole point is, like, the Cubs should just spend more money, fine. I'm with you guys. I'm completely in agreement with you. But, like, they can't right now. Like, they could have in the Bryce Harper offseason. They could have in the Manny Machado offseason. They could, like, right now, the guys that they have, that, by the way, everybody likes, right? Everybody likes Pete Crow Armstrong. Everyone agrees, right? He should play.
Yes.
Everyone likes Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah.
I have no problem with Pete Crow Armstrong sitting down for a couple of days. I have no problem
everyone
with that.
Everyone wants Pete, but everyone wants Kyle Tucker to be signed this offseason, I assume.
No,
still.
No. Yes. There's another Kyle I'd rather see in a Cubs lineup. There's another Kyle I'd rather pay the money to.
Schwarber?
Yep.
What?
Listen. Okay. Listen.
Less Schwarber, money.
Grody maybe remember. It's the angriest I've ever been at the Cubs on air on the score was when they non-tendered Schwarber. Yeah. I lost my mind on the air. Talked to people in the front office about it after the rant. Like, it was a thing. I obviously love Kyle Schwarber. But Kyle Tucker's the lefty with slug who's here now.
Yes.
Like, I assume Cubs fans do not want him to be gone after this year, despite a 35-game slump.
No, I think for me, it's just the realization that Schwarber would be cheaper, and understanding an organization has never given out a $200 million contract, let alone a $300 or $400 or $500 million contract. Now, they may get that Cody Bellinger lucky bump because this guy is not healthy or whatever is going on with him. But
well, you want him to be good. You want him to be good and be heading into a contract year where he can get a gazillion dollars.
Yes, because that means if you give him the gazillion dollars, you're going to get the production for the rest of his career.
Right, and because that means that he would be producing in games that matter for the Cubs this year. I think that way too often, like if every conversation is a macro one, then fine, I'm with you. Just talk about the owner and spending money. But sometimes, like, the games happen and we react to the games, right? Like, that's like a huge part of what we do. And if your best players who you like, who have gotten you to at the point of the trade deadline, had the second best record in baseball and a top 10 offense in baseball, if they're not hitting, at some point it's on the players. You guys can tell me when it is.
No, I mean, like, here's
it's on the
only,
players right now.
Here's what I'll say, Danny, and then I got a couple things here for you here in a second. The only thing that I take offense to is the way you presented in the beginning that the whole argument of what the hell is the GM supposed to do? What the hell is the really with the manager is what I'm talking about. There's always something a well-paid manager can do to make his team better, to put his position in a better position to win. So I think I took offense to that more than anything.
Was he doing it? I'm just curious. Was he doing everything that he could do the first 80 games of the year?
I mean, and I gave him a lot of praise for it. Like, even like with benching certain guys, putting Dansby Swanson down in the lineup, moving
PCA
up in the lineup. It's possible. Like,
maybe the manager is slumping.
Yeah,
Danny, maybe the manager.
I got a couple things here for you, really quick, Danny. All right. I have received a text message from the powers that be. They have slotted you in for Hit and Run this Sunday. They would like you to host Hit and Run for Matt Spiegel.
We're back with more Hit and Run with Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
When is Hit? When is that?
I love it.
I never knew. I never.
Do you know who the host is? The host is Matt Spiegel.
You may know him.
He's talented.
Sundays.
He's a talented guy, but I just never knew when the show. I'm sure it's great.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Our guy, Brad Biggs, football man of the Chicago Tribune, kind enough to join us this morning. And we've been talking a lot about football, and we will get back into it. But huge series for the Cubs. The Cubs are now a season-high 6.5 games behind the Brewers, who won their 10th straight game yesterday night while the Cubs were idle. And the Cubs heading to Toronto, where they face a pretty good Blue Jays team. And they need results, and they need to start winning. And they've been pretty mediocre since the trade deadline. They've been mired in a run-scoring slump. And, Brad, I was out of town, as you know, for the trade deadline. I was surprised that the Cubs didn't get more done. We had talked about it when we saw Jed get the new contract. We thought, oh, is that what does that mean? How does that relate to the trade deadline? Does that give him permission to do what's needed to make sure you're getting to your winning ways this season? Or was that sort of an understanding of, hey, you know, you now have your deal. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to spend a ton of money at the deadline. And we know the Cubs, you know, made a huge move in the offseason, brought in Kyle Tucker. We know that they let Bellinger go and they traded him. And you kept thinking, how are they going to invest that money? Where will that wind up? And they didn't really reinvest it in the team. But the trade deadline comes and goes, and the Cubs, you know, they made some moves. They made some minor improvements, but they certainly didn't do anything to the level that we thought they might. And meanwhile, a lot of the teams that are in the same situation they were in really seem to improve themselves. And I'm thinking particularly of Philadelphia going out and getting the closer that they always seem to need this year. That was kind of their boogeyman spot. They fixed that spot. That looks like a really dangerous team all of a sudden because, and not all of a sudden, they were always dangerous, but they've got a group there, kind of veteran group. Maybe this is their last hurrah. A couple of guys headed to free agency. We'll see what happens. But you like a lot about what they're doing. You like their pitching. You like some of the big name hitters, but you felt like they needed help in the bullpen. They got maybe as good a closer move as there was at the deadline, and they look like a different team. And you could argue that they've stepped ahead of the Cubs, as have a few other teams in the National League. So you know, I'm just wondering. Again, I wasn't here, but I did read the quote from Carter Hawkins, the Cubs general manager. And this was, I believe, Jesse Rogers had this in ESPN. This was after the trade deadline. He said, it's hard when you see other teams you're competing with get really good players, but those aren't decisions you're making in the moment. Their decisions you're making over the course of the week and the month. It takes more discipline, especially in the moment when you see things moving that way. But we were able to stick to our approach and felt really good about the ads we were able to make. Teams are trying to find that guy that can lock down the eighth or ninth inning, but that also costs a lot. That costs a lot of future wins. We have a responsibility to the 2025 Cubs, but also the 2032 Cubs. That's not always popular in the moment, but it's decisions we have to make. I got to tell you, if ever there is a quote you're going to look at, it's the one. How can you worry about the 2032 Cubs?
I think if he had said the 2028 Cubs, you'd still have pretty much the same reaction.
Yeah.
Like, I'm invested in watching this season.
Thank you.
And at some point, you've got to make more moves. Like, you've seen... I talked about it when I was in here in the spring. The starting pitching, you're looking at it and you're saying, yeah, I don't know about this in a playoff series. The bullpen has been an issue all year. Multiple teams went out and got major help at the back end of the bullpen. The Cubs got Kittredge, who was torched like with a 3 or 4 run loss tagged to him in that first or second outing he had. They didn't get major bullpen help. They got a starter that's on the shelf with a shoulder injury. And is there any element of this where they looked at it and they said, yeah, maybe we don't shoot our shot at this moment because of how we've been playing for a while? They're 31 and 28 since June 1st, Cubs. They are 3 games above 500 over a stretch of, I mean, now we're getting close to 2.5 months of baseball.
Yeah.
Which you know, what's the first thing you look at when you say that is, man, they were playing really, really good baseball in April and May. March, April, and May. They were playing fantastic baseball. But to be 31 and 28 in the last 2 months plus, again, almost 2.5 months, maybe it's not the year to shoot your shot. I'm introducing that as a talking point or an idea.
Do you think they came to that realization? Is that what happened?
I don't know. I'm curious. Like, you know, geez, do we want to load up this year? Now, some organizations, like the Padres, they seemingly go for broke at every opportunity they can. Like the joke at the end of the trade deadline when you were on your trip was that the Padres might have to cancel some of their minor league team seasons because they didn't have any dudes left. Like, they had traded too many minor league players to continue to field a roster in A-ball or Double-A. The Cubs are doing what they're doing, some prospect hugging, right? They're not letting their guys go. And, we'll see. But maybe they get this straightened out. And hopefully, for the Cubs' sake anyway, the Brewers cool off a little bit.
Okay. And I mean, we'll get to that. But I'm very curious. That's a very interesting take on it, that they looked at their team. Here's the problem with that. The problem is, they went out and got Kyle Tucker. So they went out and they traded, you know, they traded Isak Paredes, right, who was an all-star at one point in his career. They trade Cam Smith. They trade Wisniewski, who's been injured. But they make a huge deal, and they bring a guy in here who is going to change their fortunes. And then the question is, well, are they going to sign him? How do you feel about them signing him? And then when you get to the trade deadline, all of a sudden, are you, as you say, prospect hugging? Are you worried more about being able to replace the guy that maybe you're not going to pay in the offseason because the price tag is going to be so significant? And I don't know. You know, Dustin is arguing now that he's not a $500 million player. It seemed like that was the going rate for him.
He's going to be whatever someone's willing to pay him on the open market. And he's going to go to market, right?
Yes.
You know, like that.
Yes.
So it's only going to take one team to offer him a contract that makes everybody else take a step back and say, holy smokes, can you believe he got this? Now, the slump that he's had here of lately isn't going to help him, but he's got a long track record of production that's going to help make him generationally very wealthy.
And, you know, let's be honest about it. You don't often see teams trade their number one prospect at the trade deadline.
Padres did it. Yeah.
The Padres did it. I mean, for the first time. You know, you look at what Oakland managed to do. They got like a whole new team in there. It's pretty extraordinary to see the teams that sold and won as much as the teams that didn't.
But the cost for some of these bullpen guys, I'm not minimizing it and saying it was cheap, but that wasn't going to cost you an arm and a leg. And although I've said it and I've maintained it, like the starting pitching issue for the Cubs is more critical to me than the bullpen issue. And the bullpen has been god-awful in the second half of this season. And they've had some guys who have pitched fantastic. Like they've been absolute revelations for them when you talk about what they've been able to get out of Pomerantz and Thielbar and Brazier. But yes, those guys have pitched so far above the level that they've been at in recent years that you looked at it and said, I don't know if this is sustainable. Like, is there going to be something that brings him back closer to what he's been in the last 3, 4, 5 seasons in the big leagues? And we've seen that with a few of those guys.
312-644-6767. Let's try Tim. He's in Tinley Park. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I'm not a Cubs fan. I'm a Sox fan. I'll preface it with that. I just, you know, the history of the Cubs, wait, they won one World Series in 120 years. And you have a guy coming in, an owner saying, I'm gonna do anything I can to win the World Series. And you're holding on to these unknown commodities in the minor leagues and not going for it. I mean, how depressing could that be for your fan base? I don't know. I don't get it as a Sox fan. So I'll just hang up and listen to what you got to say.
I mean, you want to strike a balance, right? Like you want to, if you really get cooking, like if you're really rolling, you've got a system that's producing players, you're consistently developing 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old players that are getting attention around baseball, and you have the wherewithal to keep the ones that you really believe in and use the other ones as trade chips that you're not so certain about and ship them out to get yourself help to plug some holes when you need them. I think there was an opportunity for the Cubs to be a little bit more aggressive.
Yes.
I get it that the price tag to get starting pitching was high. I understand that the quality starting pitching may be that had controllable years. Like, none of those guys were traded. Like, there was this discussion for a while of the Cubs need to go out and get they need to get a number one. Well, number ones, they're not available
right
in the trade market.
Yes.
Like, what they hopefully needed to do was get a two or a guy that could slot in as a three, and they were unable to do that, and they're going to be relying on Chota, on Matthew Boyd, and Cade Horton. Can they hold up? I don't know. We'll have to see.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I still think that the Cubs take this thing and they clinch the division essentially today. Congratulations to the Chicago Cubs, 7.5 game lead. But this
clinch the division.
Yeah, this
you're
is
talking
it.
Crazy.
I don't think there's any team right now that is or will be for the foreseeable future, unless one of these teams seriously augment at the trade deadline.
Jesus.
That is close to as good as the Cubs right now.
You sure about that?
Baby Jesus, help me.
The irony is the Milwaukee Brewers did not augment at the trade deadline. They just rolled what got them. Now, Brandon Woodruff did come back. Andrew Vaughn did get called up. But, Grody, since you said that, Brewers, 36-9. Cubs, 22-23. They've gone from being up 6.5. The Cubs never had a 7.5 game lead on the Brewers. Let me just point that out. They've gone from June 17th. The Cubs beat the Brewers 5-3 to go up a season high 6.5 on them in the division. The last time the Brewers lost a game, by the way, July 30th. You know who they lost to? The Cubs. The Cubs, 10-3. That put them at a game up. Going into that series, the Cubs-Brewers series, the last one in Milwaukee.
Art, I was wrong!
They were tied.
For the first time in my life, I was wrong!
The Brewers took 2 out of 3. They went up a game. They have not looked back since.
And I'm afraid!
You should be afraid, man. Things not looking good right now.
That is the word. It's the Raheem and Harris show.
A lot of people blaming you, too.
On the score. We'll get to that. I am Mark Grody. Yes, I am daring to use my name.
It's Mud to a lot of people right now.
My name is Mud. Drink my wine. Hit him upside the head with an aluminum bat. What word would you use to describe your feelings about the Chicago Cubs? Marshall's troubled. I'm scared. I started the show telling you that I'm scared. Okay? 312-644-6767 is the number.
Oh, they're calling us too.
Texts are coming, and we're gonna jam through some of these calls. We might just do it for the rest of the hour, maybe. As a matter of fact. Text lines are open too. I guess I will start there because the introduction to this segment probably insists upon it. Let's see here. Just having a little fun from the 219, but all this Cup stuff, or Cub stuff, he did write Cup. Well, let's go with Cup. All this Cup stuff is Mark Grody fault. I'm blaming Mark. Sorry, buddy. Ever since your prediction, Cubs have been downhill. Please, no Bears predictions. LOL, JK, Bear. Fair enough. No Bears predictions today. Grote from the 847. Fear is good because it will prevent you, young Jedi. I added that. From predicting division championships in June as a Bears Sox fan, capital letters, please don't make any positive predictions.
they want you to keep your hands and your mouth off of the Bears.
Oh,
don't
my
talk
God.
About them. Don't think about them.
Just go negative. Robbie, write that down. I'm going negative.
Well, think of all the curses that are in Chicago sports. You have the Billy Goat. You have the Black Cat around Ron Santo. I think you added yourself to that list of curses.
Yes. We call it the Grote for more. Just more. Also, 904 on the text line. My word for the Cubs. This is a good one. Rudderless.
Ooh.
That's what the offense feels like right now, at least. Rudderless.
Rudderless. What is a rudder?
Rudder is the thing at the back of the ship that determines which direction the ship goes.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to see if you could define it.
When you steer,
yeah.
The rudder's connected to the steering wheel, and it determines if you're going left, right.
So if you're rudderless, there's no direction.
There's no direction. You're just going wherever the wind takes you, or in this case, the water.
You guys with the big boat brains back here, right? You got anything to add about the boats?
Or no, sir. Nothing on boats.
More words. Furious.
Furious.
863. Furious at Tom. Furious at Jed. Furious at myself for believing this pathetic franchise would actually go for it. But he's not furious at you, Mark, and I think that's a win for you.
Well, we've got enough people who are furious with me, and I get it. Hey, I am absolutely owning it. I will never be positive again. I am taking this ship negative for the rest of this week. 312-644-6767. We got a bunch of calls here. I am so tempted. Why would any producer, while I am hosting, put the words, don't take this call? Are you tempting me to take line one?
This is a quality issue on the phone.
Oh, it's a phone
quality
issue.
We're trying to work through it. I'm getting back to
it. That's not funny. That's not hilarious. Let's go to Craig in Naperville. Hi, Craig. You're on the score.
Hey, good morning, guys. My word is mad. The Cubs are a much better team than what they're playing right now. And I also have a question for you guys that maybe you can agree with or disagree with. I was watching MLB Network maybe about a week ago, and all three guys, don't know who the guys were on that particular show, were talking about the Cubs' downslide. And they all agreed it was because they did not go out and get a number one pitcher or a top pitcher. And that brought the whole morale of the team down. What's your guys' take on that? Do you agree with what they were saying on the MLB Network? And is that why they're kind of stale right now and they just don't seem like they really care?
Craig, thanks for the call. We got you down. Craig's got a good mad going right now. And yeah, I mean, duh. The Cubs did – all we talked about for about a month before the trade deadline is the Cubs need a starting pitcher. And you know what? We weren't sure at the time. Maybe they need a third baseman. Maybe they need an Eugenio Suarez. Maybe they need another bench player. But number one with a bullet was a starting pitcher. I don't know what it does to the morale of the Cubs locker room.
Mark, it wasn't just us talking about that. Jed Hoyer said we need more arms.
Yeah. Yes, every chance he got.
He said that. It's not like we put the words in someone else's mouth. We took what Jed Hoyer said, agreed with him, and then we wanted a high quality of arm. And he says he did too, but those pitchers were not available, so he went out and got other guys. My thing is, I saw other teams get other guys. So you just weren't willing to pay maybe what other teams are willing to pay for other guys.
Or be creative, like he said they might have to be.
Not ours.
I'm all for creativity. Show us what you got. Instead of pretty mama, instead of looking into next year. I'm all for like the sustained success stuff, that like him looking into the future. That stuff doesn't really piss me off as much as it does a lot of people. But there damn well better be a theory of like going back to Theo Epstein, which should have trickled down to Jed Hoyer, that every season is sacred. It couldn't be more sacred when you are in a position to be in the playoffs right now. And unfortunately, the Cubs are not acting accordingly right now.
It's almost antithetical to what you're talking about. And here's the name I'll throw at you, Aroldis Chapman. There was no Aroldis Chapman walking into that clubhouse. And therefore, there had to be some level of letdown. You've been in a clubhouse when they make big trade deadline acquisitions, and people talk about it like, oh, yeah, it's the front office believes in us, our manager believes in us, and now we feel even better prepared. Not that we weren't prepared before to make a charge at the postseason and maybe be a World Series contender, but now we feel even better armed in our assault on that mission.
Raheem and Harris here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Grody. We're definitely talking about the Cubs, a 5-1 loss to the Blue Jays last night. Javier Baez giving up the big 3-run homer to Ernie Clement in this one. The Cubs with blown opportunity. What did I say? Javier Assad. What did I say, Ray?
You said Javier Baez.
You know,
which
what?
Is understandable.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was in Chicago yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. I got the quick correction right there, and that was definitely warranted. Blown opportunities for the Cubs in the third and in the seventh inning. So, in other words, the bats are still not there in any way, shape, or form. 312-644-6767. What word would you use to describe your feelings about the Cubs? Tony has a feeling. Tony is in Valparaiso and he's on the Score. What up, Tony?
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, bud.
Depressed, baffled, I guess I'd go with. And to just kind of piggyback off that previous caller's comment about the trade deadline, you know, I actually applaud Jed for not getting a starting pitcher because of the astronomical price it would have taken. I was reading Cubs insiders left and right, all these articles, they wanted for a controllable starter. Because you got to remember, when these teams draft a guy, develop them, and turn them into a marquee arm, they don't want to get rid of them. They wanted Cade Horton, Matt Shaw, Owen Casey, and a mid-tier prospect. So, I applaud Jed in that sense. Now, I do agree with Marshall. There needed to be an Aroldis Chapman walking in that room. All these other teams went and got their Mason Miller, their Johan Duran, their Camilo Duvall. You go on. Palencia, Keller, if they get to the postseason, this team, because we are saying if at this point, Palencia is not going to be able to close it every game. He's just not. You got to have another elite arm next to him, and it would have put a spark in that team's, just a spark in the team in general. I mean, Anthony Rizzo talked about it on the Johnny Manziel podcast. He's like, listen, we had a good bullpen in 2016. When the front office rewarded us with Chapman, we were fired the F up. So, Jed definitely missed out on that. Now, I like Kittredge. I like Tyler Rogers because you had to have another lefty besides Pomeranz. But, you know, you needed that elite arm. I think that really would have sparked the team.
Yep. Yep. Got you, Tony. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Good points all around for sure. Yeah, they made marginal moves. And I like Kittredge, too. I know he had the one blown game where he gives up the 3-run homer, but then he followed that with the immaculate inning. So I like having that guy in the back of the bullpen. And of course, I love Palencia, but you need more. It's all about high leverage arms once you get to that postseason.
Yeah, because we know last year 52% of the innings that were pitched by relievers, not starters. So relievers pitched more than starters. Also, the other teams that went out and got their guys, teams like the Mariners, 9-1. 9-1 since the trade deadline. Teams like the Phillies, 8-3. Padres, 8-3. A lot of success. The only team I can think of that went out, got the guys they wanted, and have not done well are the New York Mets, who have been reeling as of late.
Yeah, what did he say? Like the price for, it was Matt Shaw.
Cade Horton. Owen Casey. I mean, you can stop right there.
I mean,
that's too much.
For
That's well, too much.
Well, Well, I'm just thinking about this. But right? I think the yeah, that is a lot.
That's too much. No, it's too much
for a start for a
because starting wasn't the pitching wasn't the point. The point was get either the top of the line starter, which I don't think was available.
Yeah.
Or get better bullpen arms. I think other teams got better bullpen arms.
I just don't know that any of those three. Like, look, I see the value in Cade Horton, and it looks like he is just on the rise. He's had two straight.
Cade Horton hasn't given up a run since the All-Star break.
I know, but so the question is, do you think that he's going to be a number one or number two starter? And I'll even say 5 years. You think he?
I think there's a possibility.
The development of this kid has been great. My question is, are any of the Matt Shaw, Cade Horton, Owen Casey, or any of those guys that are going to be elite MVP style players in the future? Like, I see they can be good. Like, I'm like,
are the possibility
really,
exists.
Are they really that elite? Are these magical prospects to the point where you're like, there's a no doubt about him? Mark Pryor in this bunch?
There's no such thing as a no doubter, because even Mark Pryor had a window and then it fell off.
But there's guys like Chris Bryant that are pretty damn close to that. You know what I mean? There's not a Chris Bryant, unless I am misinformed. And I think
Shaw's better than you give him credit for.
Okay.
I really
just don't look at any of these guys and say that would be a heartbreak. Would you even see? How can you be mad about something you never even saw with Owen Casey?
We've seen Cade Horton. We've seen Matt Shaw. That's my argument.
I just don't know
that.
If they're special. I guess that's
you know, last segment I told you about, we're giving away Cubs tickets, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're giving away more stuff than that.
Oh,
listen
yeah.
for your chance to win a pair of general admission tickets to see Blink 82.
Bro.
Weird Al Yankovic.
182. Give them their one.
Alkaline Trio, Rilo Kiley, The Pogues, and more at Riot Fest on Friday, September 19th. Just keep listening.
I so badly want to go to Riot Fest. You know, it's funny. We're sponsoring that, so I would imagine there might be ways.
I think there's people you can email for
get
that.
Get a couple of Riot Fest.
And you're Mark Grody.
Well, you know, I'm just throwing
you
it out there.
You may have to wear a fake glasses and a mustache because people might recognize you from your Cubs takes, but you can go and have a good time.
Oh, no, that's an older crowd, too, at Riot Fest. They might recognize me there. But, you know, I told you I blew it at Lala and had the fear of missing out. The FOMO was bad, man. So
Jomo greater than FOMO.
That's right.
Come on board.
What
Come
was Jomo
board.
Again? Because none
Joy
of us knows
of
what that
out.
Is. Joy of missing out.
My couch is very comfortable.
That is just adorable.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.